Now, I want to invite you to take your Bible and go to the 13th chapter of John. And Sharon, I'll let you jump in when I get to the passages I gave you. But I'm going to begin at the very first verse of John 13 and begin in verse 1. And I want to walk down through this, and we're going to talk about service tonight. And we've been talking about this for a while on Sunday night. And some of you that really do listen, you're going to say, boy, that sounds familiar. Well, it should. Tonight's sermon reminds me of when Spurgeon preached on John 3:16 for a month in London. Came to the pulpit every Sunday morning, took his text, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Next Sunday came, did the same thing. Following Sunday, same thing. Following Sunday, same thing. Some of the elders asked Spurgeon, said, "When are you going to get a different text?" He said, "When you live the one I'm preaching on." So when we get John 13, I may move on, all right? But there's a whole lot in here, and I want us to look at it again tonight and just take another glimpse at being a servant. John 13, beginning in verse 1, you follow along, and I'll make a few comments until we get down a little farther in the passage. Now, before the feast of the Passover, now you remember the Passover. The Passover is when the death angel came. Kill the firstborn, unless you put the blood on the doorpost. And our Jewish friends then would celebrate the Passover when the death angel would pass over if he saw the blood. And of course, Paul says today Jesus is our Passover. You see, you die and go to hell unless you've had the blood of the Lamb applied to your life. He is our Passover. Jesus was looking at this feast of the Passover, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, friend, if you're going to be like Jesus, you love to the end. You don't give up. You don't just love for a while. You love until you're finished. Jesus loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself about. Now get the picture. He knows he's about to die, and then he sees Judas slipping out. If you've got to leave church, this is not a good time to leave right now. All right? He saw Judas leave. And Jesus, that knows everything about everybody, knew that God had put it in, that the devil had put it in Judas's heart to betray him. And you know the story that just a few hours later, Jesus be in the garden and Judas would come and he'd kiss him on the cheek to show that he's the one, and they would arrest him, and he'd sell out the Lamb of God for 30 pieces of silver. If we're not careful as believers, we'll sell him out for less than that. The things we'll bow down to. But Judas having left, Jesus then rose and laid aside his outer garment. Now he was not naked, but he'd taken off his outer garment. And he took a towel and we see that he wrapped it around himself, girded himself about. That word girded is an interesting word. I heard it on the British Open today. Peter Alice, who is the voice of the BBC, talking about Greg Norman. He was standing over a putt on the third hole this morning, wind blowing almost 30 miles an hour. And Peter Alice, in that English accent, said, "Mr. Norman needs to gird up his loins and make this." Well, he did not. He did not gird up his loins nor make the putt on number 3. To gird, to wrap around in your thighs and hips. He girded himself. And then he poured water into a basin, verse 5 said, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He'd take the towel off and wipe their feet. And so he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet! Exclamation point. And Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter, being a smart Baptist, said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Lord, don't just wash my feet. You wash me all over because I want to be with you. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. That is a phenomenal verse of Scripture. Peter, you're almost there, but you're not all the way. You've not understood it all. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. See, there's some among you that are not washed. They look like you. They sing like you. They meet like you. They act like, but they're a devil. He knew Judas was that one. And so in verse 12, when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Now, how would you have answered that? Some eighth grader would have piped up and said, will you just wash my feet? Oh, no. He went miles beyond foot washing. You call me teacher, verse 13, and Lord, and you're right. For I am. He's both the teacher and the Lord. If I then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example. The Greek word there literally is a pattern, like you would cut a pattern out for a dress. Like you would have a pattern for a piece of wood that you're going to cut to make something out of. He said, I have given you an example, a pattern that you should do as I did to you. You see, Jesus didn't just wash their feet. What he had done is he had given them the pattern. He had given them the highlight. He had said, this is it. This is what you are to do from now on. This is the pattern. This is it. Go serve one another. Verse 16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave, a doulos, is not greater than his master. Neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you knew these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus said, I'm not greater than the Father. He sent me, and let me tell you, I'm going to send you, and you're not greater than I am, and I am a servant, and you too should be a servant. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about service again. There are three words, and they're the same three words I gave you last Sunday night, and I want you to write them down again because I want you to get them. If you don't have them, then I want you to go to www.olivebaptist.org. Matter of fact, Sharon, can you go there? And just bring up the website. And I want you to see that right on the front of the website that there is a place now where you can understand what it means to be a bondservant. Tonight's message is up there. And when she scrolls right there, she sees that. And when she clicks on that, you just find everything that you need to see. And you can't read that because it's small. But right there, whoa, pull back down just a little. Scroll up. That's good right there. You see that first word in bold, if you can barely make that out, if I had a clicker and she's got the arrow on it, is our mandate. Our mandate. You can find this right on the website. Jeff did a great job. Drew it up for me last week, sent it over to me, said, Pastor, what do you think about a link like this? Since you've been talking about it so much, I just put this on the website. I love staff members that think out in front of me. Mandate. Our mandate at Olive Baptist Church is to be a servant. We are all to be servants. Our mandate, what the Lord has called us to be. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life, what? A ransom for many. Jesus laid down his life. That's what we're to do. We are to serve people all around us. And we are to serve three people. Number one, we are, our mandate first is to serve Christ above all. Christ above all. Secondly, we are to serve Christians. We're to serve one another. The great one another passages in the scripture. Serve one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. We are to serve Christ. We are to serve Christians. And thirdly, we are to serve our community. You can find all that fleshed out on the website. I encourage you to write that down. Go to it. Look at it. Click on there and find that. Be a servant. What God has encouraged you to do. This morning, when people went, and many did, to join our church, these ladies that were baptized and these men that were baptized and this little boy that were baptized, when they come a member of the church, we hand them a towel. It's not a towel just like the one Jesus gave because you can't wrap it all the way around you. It's a hand towel. It's one that we encourage you to use as a symbol to say, I will be a servant, a servant, a servant. We want to raise up servants in this church. We've got to do that. The mandate. You see, it's not something you can do. I'm telling you, friend, if you're a follower of Christ, you're a servant. You should serve someone. I'm reading a book. Brother Huey spoke to the deacons about it this afternoon. And sometime in 2009, I'm going to have the whole church read it together for 30 days, early in 2009. And in this book, a month, 1 month to live, you take one section every day. It's about 3 or 4 pages, and you read it. My daughter, who's very astute, we're all doing it now at our home. And Liz got a book, and I got a book, Bennett's got a book, and Rachel got a book. And at about day 12, Rachel looked at me and she said, are we a pilot group? I said, yes, ma'am, we are. We are a pilot group. I said, you just picked up on that right quick. But we're walking through it, our family. We want to encourage your family. And today, one of the assignments today on the 20th day of reading through 1 month to live is to find somebody that needs service that you serving them will really not, as best you know, bring benefit to you. You just minister to somebody and serve them because it's right to do, even because you don't think there'll be some wash back toward you. You know, sometimes you serve and it always comes back. Thank God for that. But if you really serve, you always do it, understanding no one owes you anything to reciprocate back to you. Service rendered is service given without requiring return. We should always do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. And hopefully they will do unto us. Zig Ziglar is still right. If you'll help enough people get what they want, they'll help you get what you want. But you don't do it for that reason. Our mandate, serve Christ, serve the Christian, serve the community. There's a second word that is on the website. And not only do we find the word mandate, but then we find the little word map. What is our map? How do we do this? How do we do this foot washing? How many of you tonight own a home? Just raise your hand. I don't mean you have it paid for. I mean it's in your name and the bank's name. All right. Some of you have it right out. Okay. That's many of us. How many of you live in an apartment tonight or a house where you pay rent? Okay. Many across this place. Okay. Great. How many of you live in a tent? And anybody okay? 3 or 4 here got their hands up. Good. Amen. See me after church. I'll help you with some beans. That'll be good. She's lying to me, so we're having a little fun with her, all right? What I'm telling you is that most all of us have some residence that we call ours. Every home, an outpost. Every home, an outpost. Do you imagine? Can you just imagine? Just fathom. If every person in this place, if every member of this church became a missionary, and then every home became an outpost for fellowship and evangelism, that is that you used your home, biggest bill you pay every month. Well, other than your tithe, I understand that. But other than what you give to the Lord through the local church, your largest bill will be, most of the time, your mortgage payment. You know, it comes quickly now. Your gas bill is right there behind your mortgage payment. All right? But still that mortgage payment normally is it. If it's not now, it has been. And if you're investing there, where your treasure is, your heart ought to be, because where your heart is, your treasure will be. And if you're going to plow that much into that place, then that place should be a place to the glory of your King. And if you're a Christian, your King is Jesus, and you ought to use that place as an outpost of evangelism fellowship. What I mean by that is you ought to be having lost people in your home, and you ought to have other Christians in your home, and you ought to be developing believers in your home. Brother Robert uses home. He and Sweet Faith of that had sent all the staff over, all the educational staff, and had them over for a fellowship. And I came before I came to dinner theater, and we just had a great fellowship time. The same way he does that, I look right back here. Keith, where'd you go? Keith is right there, Keith Harriet, and he's on our missions committee, and he's been taking this real serious. And over in his neighborhood, he's been having meetings where he invites his lost neighbors just to come to sit down for dinner and to chat and to talk. There's not a gospel presentation involved yet. So is it coming? Maybe. And then he invites them to dinner theater, and that's what dinner theater is an opportunity to do that, and we serve these. I had two emails this afternoon, Leo, from two of our men that were in early church this morning, said, Pastor, pray, pray. And man, they began to tell me the lost people they've got coming. And then they told me the tables that they're going to be at. Said, Pastor, please come by, you know, whatever it is, Z14, the table, and come by and visit. I want to introduce my guest to you. Two men said that to me today. And I mean, they talked about hardened, lost individuals. Had another lady this morning that said, Pastor, I've got people coming and we've invited them to dinner theater and they don't even know it's at the church. I said, you might ought to inform them when you pick them up where you're headed. All right, you may get shot. See, here's the map. Everybody that's a Christian, a missionary. Every home, an outpost of evangelism and fellowship, and every church a missions center. We've got to be on mission. This place has got to be a mission sending operation. If we're not doing that, we're out of business. I said this morning, all we're doing is feeding the fish and cleaning the tank. I'm telling you, and we got to quit that. It's not enough to feed the fish and clean the tank. We got to be putting new fish in the tank. Amen. Sometimes we swap fish from tank to tank, but that's not even good enough. We got to have lost people coming to follow Christ. So we see that we walk through that. And then the last thing that we look at is the word marks. What marks a believer? If we serve this world, what marks a believer? Well, let me tell you, what marks a believer is being like Jesus right here. And this is love, love, love. That's what marks a church. This morning, I was just really encouraged. After 11 o'clock church, and we got out late because Leo sang long this morning. And then I preached, and then the invitation just went on and on at 11 o'clock. We sang several verses. I had hymn code, a couple of verses. There's people in the altar, and I mean, it's just a great response. And people got saved and joined the church. It was just good. And after we dismissed, people didn't go home. They just kept hanging out. And they were just loving on each other, fellowshipping with each other. And after a while, I mean, I looked, there was over 100 people still in this room. And I mean, it's getting on toward 12:45. And I said, man, I'm going home. It's to myself. I said, y'all can stay if you want to. I'm tired. I've been here all day. I'm leaving. I don't know. I guess they left. I went out and the same thing was going on in the parking lot. I just saw little pockets of people. I cannot tell you how I was encouraged when I saw God's people just hanging out with each other and loving on one another. I'm telling you, a cold, sterile church, as soon as you say amen, it's like roaches out of a room when you turn the lights on. But a warm fellowship that's filled with agape love, people like to hang out among that. And they did it. Well, I was just encouraged this morning with that. Now, what are those marks? Well, the last one is love, but there are eight of them, the eight callings of God. And I'm not going to go over there. They're on the, go to that website again. They're on that website, and you can see these marks. They'll come up on the screen. Can you find them for me, Sharon, here in just a minute? And you'll see those coming out of 2 Peter. Write this down. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you find those eight marks. There they are. They're up on the screen. They're so small you can't hardly read them. I can see them down here on my screen. One is love. And look at Sharon blow it up on me. Amen. Okay. She's trying to make it larger. All right. There's love and brotherly kindness and godliness and perseverance and self-control and knowledge and moral excellence and faith. You begin with faith. You add to your faith moral excellence, knowledge. Your knowledge, self-control. Your self-control, perseverance. Your perseverance, godliness. Your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. You say, man, that's way too fast. Go get your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, you find the eight callings of God. They're all there. This is what a mature believer will look like when we take them from A all the way to maturation. And maturation is love. Love. It's agape love. It's like Jesus loves one another. Now, we got some folks that are helping us, and we thank God for that. We got all kinds of places of service. Brother Dennis, where are you back there? You and Sister Nancy stand up for me, would you? These are the Wilsons. Dennis and his sweet wife Nancy right there. Dennis was on the search committee, brought me to Olive. Dennis has just come on staff with us and working with us, helping us in projects that we do around here, and is just doing a great job not only with people who come in and help us with the Ministry Village and other places, but getting our plant in order and all we do. And many of you are going to be serving, and that gentleman is going to help you find that place in some regard. He'll deal much with our plant and projects, and we get ready to build either the next Karis house, or I have the drawings on my desk for the new Ministry Village Center that we're going to put out there for the Health and Hope Clinic. Before Scooter left to go to Cleveland, I had him on the CAD drawing. Dennis will be the one helping us with that project. Many of you will come. You'll pour concrete. You'll put in carpet. You'll nail walls. You'll do all that stuff. And Dennis will help us with that. Man, I'm glad you're on the team. I love you and thank God for you. Amen. Give Brother Dennis a hand. He's going to help us to be a part of that. We had another staff change about service this week, and Kim Waters is right over here, and she's been our interim director with our senior saints. And sweet Kim, want you to stand, and she's right here, and this is her half down here. This is Brother David. Amen. These are the Waters and Kim, who has had several positions around here, worked in our rec division and different things, and when we decided to go a different direction or had an opportunity for a different direction, I just felt in my heart we ought to do this. And I went down and talked to Kim, and I think she gets nervous now when I come to her office sometimes because we've done this two or three times. But she is doing a great job with our 65-plus ministry, and she's been the interim doing that, but we've removed that interim tag, and she's now the director of our 65-plus ministry, doing a great job reaching out to our senior adults, and they're everywhere. As a matter of fact, she's got a conference planned in February of this year, and we're going to do it on Friday. Is Leo singing?
He doesn't know it yet.
Okay, Leo, you're singing at this conference. It's going to be really good, and amen. And Doc's going to sing, and I'm going to speak. And then Art Linkletter's coming on Saturday morning for that particular conference. Art Linkletter. And several of you just turned to somebody and said, I thought he was dead. No, he's not. And he's absolutely phenomenal. Give Kim a good hand. She and David both doing a great job for us. Give me a hug right here. Amen. Amen. Love you. She's doing a good thing in helping raise up. You know, the 65 plus, I mean, on Sunday night, I guarantee, if you're 65 and older and ain't ashamed of it, just lift your left hand if you know which one it is. Amen. Your left hand. Thank you. Give me one of these right here. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. I'm telling you, it's an army of people that in our church, and Kim's helping us with that. We've tried several different things and what to do, but we believe we've got great leadership in helping us go in that direction. And then the 2020 Vision Team said that we needed two people to come on staff. One of them we already have on staff with us, the fund development director, to help us raise money outside of our church with grants and foundations and other ways of raising money. And we put Sheila Reed on staff. I think I saw Miss Sheila come in tonight. Yeah, where are you, Sheila? Why don't you just stand so our people know you? And she's had some eye surgery done, so that's why she's got on those foster grants tonight, all right? And that's Sheila Reed, and is doing a masterful job for us in getting all of that put together for the Ministry Village, and I'm grateful to God for her. And out of the 2020 vision, they said we've got to have, if we're going to run this train, we got to have two things. We got to have a cash side of the rail, and we got to have a volunteer side of the rail. We got to raise up money, and we got to raise up ministers. We got to raise up the cash to do this, and we've also got to have people that will be a part of that. And so one of the things that came to us was to put a fund development director in place, and she's there working hard and helping us with that. And then the other one is someone to do the directory of the direction of lay development in our church, and that is to reach into the church and to raise up servant leaders and put them to work in our church. Someone who is just specifically charged with development of people. They've got to be a motivator. They've got to be a doer. And so we thought and prayed and looked, and I talked with some of our lay leadership, and I talked with our personnel folks, and finally I came to understand who I believe that person ought to be. I went and talked with them, and they've prayed through now for several weeks, and we introduced them to personnel committee, and then we introduced them to deacons tonight, and well, Chuck, where are you? Chuck, why don't you just walk up here and give us just a quick report from our personnel team that I brought to them. Dr. Morris is our chairman, but he had an emergency case that came up just a few minutes ago, and he had to leave, and so Chuck's going to give us a brief word. Just tell us who that individual is and how we came to that quickly, and what's up. Chuck works with our personnel group.
Well, on behalf of the personnel committee, with concurrence of the deacons, we affirm pastor hiring Huey Pearson as the director of lay ministry. There's no doubting, Huey, God's prepared you for 32 years now to fulfill this role of servanthood. And so I invite you, church, to join the excitement as we welcome him to come on board and be the servant leader to show us all how to be, like he is, a bondservant.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's good. Thank you, Chuck. Huey and Susan, you just stand there for us. And, I've never done this before. I've never had a deacon chairman exit in the middle of the year. Huey is the deacon chairman at Olive this year and has done that too a couple of other times that he served there. And here he is halfway through this year, and I went and sat down with he and Susan a few weeks ago and just sat in their home over here and said, I've got an idea. I believe it's of the Lord and want to ask you to pray about that. And so they've taken several weeks to pray and do due diligence. And we've done the same and looked at that. And we've just come to a mind that he will be the man. There's not a greater servant in this church than this man. I mean, you just walk around, you see him everywhere in doing that. Many others that work and do hundreds of hours of work, but Huey is a leader in that. And he's also a wonderful motivational speaker. He's a leader of men. He's a man's man. And he's just going to be a great asset to our family. And he's going to be looking for you. Amen. And he ain't bashful about asking. So he's coming after you and going to do that. Huey, welcome to the team. He'll begin August 1st. With us, has been a phys ed teacher for how many years? For 31 years in the system here in Escambia, a West Florida graduate, and he's been a dear friend, been in this church for 50 years. He's been a member here at Olive Baptist Church, and just a little bitty boy, and has just been a blessed part, and dear Susan being a part of this church with her dad being here tonight, and having buried mom here, and they're just part of who we are, and they will help you to do the same. And I couldn't be more thrilled than having Huey Pearson to come on board with us. Thank you, man. Amen. That's good. So I just believe God's putting together a team and seeing those pieces come together of a new avenue, a new day of ministry and service here at a place called Olive Baptist Church. I don't really know exactly where we're headed, but I know this. It has to do with clean hearts and some clean hands that need to get dirty. Huey, I'm going to tell you one place to start. Last night, my wife came in at about almost 9 o'clock, and she said, come go with me. We're staying over here in the missionary house. And I said, oh, well, okay, yes, ma'am. I said, just where is it we're going? She said, we have to go back over to the church. She said, I've been over here walking around the church. And all this rain, you know, it's been raining a lot till the last few days. And just the weeds and the grass and the weeds and the grass get up. She pulled, I don't know how many, I was give out, and we got it picked up. I know that, but you know what? One servant role. I mean, somebody could volunteer just to come pull weeds on 51 acres of ground. So we'll just hire that done. You understand, friend, it costs a bunch of money to get people to do that when they lay volunteer. I mean, and you don't really even have to have, nobody has to task you with doing that. Didn't nobody task me with doing it last night. Well, they really did, but I mean, it wasn't like the office called, you know. And I mean, I don't know. We picked up 5, 6, 7 big old garbage bags full out here, and there's plenty more. We didn't get on. See, if you ever learn to just smile and pick up trash, you got to get that in your DNA around Olive Baptist Church. You see something on the floor, pick it up. Put it in a trash can. See somebody, you smile at them. Now, on the 24th, next month, we're going to have an in-reach high-attendance fall roundup. And that day, we're going to all wear a name tag. It's that day. We're going to all wear a name tag. That way you can call everybody by name. Okay? Now, there's immediately, you see, the Judas crowd in here is already saying, I ain't doing that. Well, help yourself. We'll give you a visitor's card. Now, Jason, we laugh about that. But you see, if you just say, well, I won't, there's something wrong with your spirit. It's something innate just says no. It won't hurt you. All you have to do is go TED, peel, and you're done. That's all you got to do. It'll be amazing when you find out some people's names. We just need to do a better job. And that'll help us on that 24th. So we're going to do that. Amen, Howard. Got a big old long name like Howard. Takes a little more ink, but, you know, Ted, just get 3 letters. That's good. Amen. Helen will do it. Won't you, Helen? Amen. She will. Leo, where he is. Just 3 letters. Easy done. Yeah. Just put Leonard on there. That'd be good. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm in the doghouse with the singer now, I guarantee you. Service, service, service. Service. Just say that word with me. Service. That's what we've got to be about in days to come. It is the mandate. We have a map. And we need to be marked by the 8 callings of God. Brother Leo, I'd like for you to sing that invitation song for us. That was really good this morning when you just did it by yourself. Won't you just to sing a couple of stanzas of that invitation? And I'd like you just to sit still right where you are, bow your head in prayer. If you're here tonight and never trusted Jesus, need to come, want you to come. If you're here and ought to join this church, and I want you to come. But maybe you just need to talk to the Lord about your service tonight, where you can plug in and be a servant to somebody where they really just need you to love on them. So while Dr. Day sings for us, I want you just to think about serving King Jesus tonight.